Come on around this side so I can see y'all. Sit down another. There you go.
Wait.
There you go. Right there.
Candy in there?
Oh, candy. Is that what you want? Is candy?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to look in the bag here. We got something in the bag. All right. Okay. See what we got here. We got two bags in here.
What?
I got two bags.
Is it sugar or salt?
What is it?
Salt and sugar.
We have
pepper.
Salt and pepper.
What is it?
Salt and sugar.
You sure?
I want to taste it.
You sure?
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
It could be laundry detergent.
Laundry detergent? Anything else?
Rice? Wait.
No, I don't think it's rice.
Not sure.
Powder? Grated cheese?
Wait, wait, wait. Could,
all right, I'm going to confirm to you that it is salt and it is sugar. One bag is salt, one bag is sugar, one bag is sugar, one bag is salt, and which one is which?
This one's like sugar. This one feels like salt. This one's salt and no sugar.
Which is which?
Salt, sugar.
All right, which is which?
Salt.
Okay, now, going to do something else. Y'all stay right here. Y'all stay right here. Which is this? Which is this? Are you sure? You're sure this is sugar? Absolutely sure. Okay. All right, let's see if you're right. All right. I'm ready for you today. Okay, how big a scoop do you want?
How about a half?
Let's just let you taste there. Oh! Yeah. Uh-oh. You guessed wrong. Ugh. Okay.
Have water?
All right. Now, they look a lot alike. Yeah. They look a lot alike. Salt and sugar.
Oh,
now,
I
here, I want you to listen to this verse. And so Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. For you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. How are we going to know the truth about what things are unless we know someone that knows everything, that can even show us when it's hidden what it is? And that's God. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. In him, we always know if we'll listen to him. Just like Brother Dusty knew exactly what was in each one of these.
Because he put it in there?
That's right. Because I put it in there. Great point. God knows what's true because God is the one who created everything, and he always knows what's right. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for these children. What blessings they are to us. I pray you will guard their minds and their hearts, and Lord, that they will see the truth in you, Jesus. Continue to teach them and us today. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, y'all can go to Kids Zone. You got to leave Egypt. The last 2 weeks we have been looking at that theme. We kind of looked at it in general, and we looked at the story of the Israelites leaving Egypt and how God had directed them, how he had shown them. And what we see in these stories, and I hope y'all will see this in all the stories of the Scripture, that they become a picture of personal application in our lives. Just like the whole theme of Exodus is God wants to take us out of our sin, and He wants to bring us into the promised land, His blessing for our lives. Now, in between there, we're going to go through some difficulties. Now, last week we looked at the whole character of bondage and what bondage looked like. And by no means, you know, we could have a several month study of deliverance and bondage. So we're kind of doing a flyover here of these themes. But I want you to see it in the story as the Israelites were leaving Egypt. Today we're going to look in the 14th chapter of Exodus. Have your Bible, you can turn there with me. And we're going to see the character of deliverance. What does deliverance look like? Now, just to remind you what had been happening for the Israelites, let's begin in verse 10, okay? They've left Egypt. They're on their way, and there's a barrier that is in their way, a natural barrier, that something's going to have to happen miraculously, because they have found themselves in a military position that is untenable. Because on the one side is the Red Sea, and on the other side is the Egyptian army that is headed their way with 600 chariots, what would have been considered tanks of that day, ready to destroy them with all the might of one of the most powerful armies on the face of the planet at that time. Verse 10, as Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. And they became very frightened, so the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. Now, I want to remind you that in the process of all this, the angel that had been ahead of them, leading them out of Egypt, as the Scripture says, has now gone to their rear of the Israelites and is protecting them there. But look what the Israelites have to say in verse 11. Then they said to Moses, is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is it not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt saying, can you hear I told you so here? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. And this is after they've already seen God do the 10 plagues. This is after they've already seen God do the wonderful and marvelous signs and wonders that He did for them. And now they're speaking these same lies because they feel trapped. Verse 13, but Moses said to the people, do not fear, stand by and see the salvation of Yahweh, because He will accomplish it for you today. For the Egyptians whom you've seen today, you will never see them again forever. Whew. Pretty strong, eh? The Lord, Yahweh Himself, will fight for you while you keep silent. Then the Lord said to Moses, Why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to go forward. As for you, lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the sons of Israel shall go through the midst of the sea on dry land. Did that happen, by the way? Yes, it did. And they weren't at a part of the sea where it was knee deep, and a wind came that just kind of blew back the water a little bit, and they walked across on mud. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible, there is a wall of water on either side. Let's get a grip on this. If you believe that God spun this world into existence, what's parting a little water to a God like that? Huh? He can do whatever he wants to do. And he did. He did this marvelous thing. By the way, and they tried to tamp it down in the archaeological community, but do you know they've actually found an Egyptian chariot wheel in the Red Sea there? How about them apples? But that's not stuff you'll hear in the mainline press and news. I will divide it, and they shall go through the midst of the sea on dry land. That's exactly what they did. As for me, behold, that's look here in South Georgia, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go after them. In other words, you know, aren't we kind of going into a trap here? You know, Doc said to Wyatt, you know, we're going into this canyon. There's a wall of water on either side. They're already gone over there. What's going to happen when we get all our folks down in the bottom here? You see? But the Scripture says the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. So they'll go after them. And I will be honored through Pharaoh and all of his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. How was God honored? By the chariots and the horsemen of the Pharaoh? They drowned. These were the people. These were the people. I want to remind you what had been happening. These were the people that were shaking their fists to heaven, that were blaspheming the name of God, that were in their hard-headed manner as God gives them sign after sign after sign after sign. And finally, he just cuts it off and says, I'll let you have what you say you want to have. Go get them. And they did. And they got it. I've told you this before. It's like my chocolate lab Ahab. Big old dog chasing a squirrel in the backyard. He thought he wanted the squirrel until he got him. When he caught him, there was that squirrel attached to that big old chocolate lab's nose. And finally, he got rid of the squirrel, and blood was trickling down his nose and off the side of, you know, on his face. And he's looking at me, and I said, "Don't look at me, Ahab. I tried to get you to stop chasing him." How many times did God warn them? They had 10 shots across the bow. Don't do it. Yet, what did they do? Hey, we're going to do what we want to do. We're in charge. And then the Lord let them be in charge at the bottom of the Red Sea. There was their opportunity to be in charge. I will be honored through the Pharaoh and all his army and through his chariot. Archaeological representation of that today. And then the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. I am Yahweh. When I am honored through Pharaoh, through his chariots and his horsemen. Okay. So, what does this have to say to us? What's the character of deliverance here? First of all, God's always on time. They're getting nervous. The Egyptians are approaching. We have the Red Sea. You don't have to be the smartest person in the world. Understand, they're about to be eaten up. But God is always on time. Just like He is with your situation. Seldom is He early. Never is He late. But He's usually right on time. He'll come. He'll come to your aid. He will be there. Do you hear me? If you cry out to Him. Secondly, Moses says, fear not. Fear cannot stand against the power of God. God will take the fear away. And you can be like you're in the eye of the hurricane. And all this stuff swirling around you. As my dad used to say to me when I let a ground ball go through my legs, you know, at shortstop, he'd say, "Oh, you had the best seat in the house. You got to watch everything, right? Right up close and personal." Well, that's a negative example of that, but a positive example of that is just pretend you're in the eye of the hurricane and you see everything swirling around you. You need not fear because the Lord is in charge. How many of your decisions does fear dictate? Some of you are stuck. You hadn't grown in a long time because fear has gotten you. It stopped you. That play, the book, was made into that movie. I can't remember the name of the movie where the people there, they're in the wilderness and they keep them wrapped in that little town by fear about what's in the woods around them. How many of your decisions are dictated by fear? You see, it's not like you know everything. And in fact, today, who of us can say, man, we know everything that's going on in life. Man, anybody says that today, just look around you, what's swirling around you. The geopolitical events that are going on right now, they're unprecedented in the history of mankind. Never before have we been so close to so many things around the earth right now that one little tip over and it has effects all over these because all of our systems are interwoven today. You know, back in the Great Depression, you know, when we were experiencing the Great Depression here, that was really just a Great Depression for a part of the world. Yeah, it had some effect on that. But how about all these other economies, these places that were untouched by the West back then? Those don't exist today. They don't exist today. The earth is connected in a unique way today. Fear. What governs your life? Third, God will deal with your oppressors permanently. What did He say about the Egyptians? He said, you will never see them again. And He says at the end of it, forever. If you will let God deal with something in your life, He will deal with it. And He will put it away. That begins with the truth about your sin. Hear this great, great truth. That when God forgives you, He hides your sin as far as the east is from the west. Whew, man. And you become a brand new person. Well, that's forgiveness. That's love. What things in your life will you allow God to deal with? And deal with permanently. Can you make a list right now? You know, Lord, I'd really like for this to be gone permanently in my life. Number four. We see in this story that what does Moses say to him? The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. Now, it's kind of a backhanded way of saying, quit griping and complaining. Shut up and watch God do what He wants to do in your life. You can't contribute one thing to your deliverance except this. Trust. When you place yourself at God's disposal, you didn't earn your deliverance, you didn't work for it, and surely they didn't, because they're still, you know, casting these aspersions against God, and yet God does something that's just miraculous for them. The formulas, number five, are useless. This isn't formula time. This isn't time to get out your little three-point talk about bip, bop, boom, bam, and we get this like we like to do in the West. But, you know, we're going to sell something. We're going to sell you something. We're going to, you know, while you're not looking, we're going to do the little sleight of hand. No, God says, here are my hands. Watch my hands. And watch my hands work. And my hands are going to work for you. It's not about a formula. Evil does not understand what God is doing. Think about this. Think about when you came to know the Lord. And the Lord started working in your life. You didn't become some idiot, you know, that, you know, walked around with a family Bible, beating people over the head with it, you know, with a vampire fighting cross that's this big. Wait a second, I did do that. I did do that one time. But anyway, that's another story. But what effect does that have on people? That pushes them away. But what happens when they really see a changed life? When they really see you're free. I can't describe it, but there's something different about you. Your life has changed. You didn't change your hairstyle. You didn't change your cologne, your deodorant. You're still bathing regular. You didn't change your wardrobe. But there's something different about you. See, evil doesn't understand that. Evil in the world, they're shaking their head. They're shaking their head about love. How can you love somebody that has treated you that way? You say, well, I'm following my master who showed me how to love and love unconditionally. You see, Pharaoh didn't understand. The Egyptians didn't understand. They didn't get this. Even after all this, God revealing Himself personally to them, they still don't get it. Still don't get it. But then, finally, God lets the world see what He's doing. And it becomes a proclamation. An announcement. Not that you put out on the radio, not that you have someone do a you know, you make the cover of Time or Sports Illustrated or whatever. Not talking about that kind of change. I'm talking about a change that comes from the inside out, something that is different, where God has done this great work in it, and it busts through and it is shown. To everyone, to everybody. This is primary to me, and that's why I say it so many times. As a 10-year-old boy, watching God work in my home through my mother as my daddy came to know Jesus, and watching that happen, I really did have the best seat in the house. And I could see God doing stuff that was nothing short of miraculous. That's the character of deliverance. It's about turning your junk over to God. So, what will it be? Will you continue your present path? Let's chart that trajectory. Ready? Let's put the dots on the, historically, the dots on the graph. And then let's draw a line through them and see where that's leading. You and everybody that you have influence over. Don't tell me that you had this list of people that you love, that you care about, that are following you along, when you're not willing to do what you know to be right in your life. And you refuse to do it. And you say, well, you know, they need to make their own decision. They're watching you. There's a line behind you. Whether you know it or not, you have influence. You can influence for good or for evil. What are you doing? What tracks are you making to follow? Remember the first time when Brandon, my oldest boy, came out and he was just a little preschooler. He put on my shoes. He came walking out in the living room. I cried because I realized the responsibility that another human being would respect me and look to me that much and watch me. Will it be? Will you finally begin to let God deal with the junk in your life? What's that smell? Now something's in the garbage can. Oh man, that's bad. Now we'll ignore it. What happens to it? The next morning, what do you wake up to? Man, it's worse. Sounds like it has a partner in there now. Something else has gone bad. What happens? You can keep putting it off and putting it off. It's time to throw out the trash, the garbage of your life, the stuff, the lies, the junk. All the stuff that's kept you down, that's kept you separated from God, kept you separated from His love and His care and what He wants to do in your life. Will you finally let God deal with the stuff in your life and see He lovingly comes to you? You don't need this. Throw it out. But you see, you first have got to admit there's a problem. What is the problem? Well, it's up. I shave the face of the root of most of my problems every day. Can I get a witness on that? I look at him face to face. First, you got to admit there's a problem. Then there comes the matter of trusting that problem to somebody that's got more power than what you have. What will you do? Can you trust God? Is He trustworthy? You need to find someone who's trustworthy and someone who can get the job done. Let's see, who get the job done right now? Who's going to be there always? Who can make that promise to me? Who loves me even though they know everything about me? Ooh, man, the list is getting cut down here. And who loved me even though I acted like an absolute, and you fill in the blank of whatever word it is that came to mind when you were acting that way, whatever pet word you have that describes that still loved you. When you get down to the bottom of the list, there's only one name on that list. His name is Jesus. He loves you. So, at last, are you willing to let go? What did the Israelites have to do? At last, they had to let go. I'm looking. There's the Egyptians. Here's the Red Sea. And by the way, God's already parted it. Another miracle. And Moses is leading the way. And I got an invitation. But at last, I got to take the next step. It can't be taken for me. You can follow that teaching, that simple teaching about deliverance in all parts of your life. It comes down to, are you trusting Him? Willing to put it in His hand. So, what about it? We're going to open the altar. You want to come and pray? Pastors will be here. You want to sit where you are and pray? That's fine. I challenge you to consider what the Word of God has to say to you today. You're not here by accident. Like this one fellow told me one time, he said, "You know, I know God was speaking to some of us, and He was the only one sitting there. Is God speaking to some of us?" Every time I point a finger there, y'all know there are always three coming right back here. How can I speak with such authority about deliverance? Because I've experienced it. And it's real. And even if I hadn't experienced it, God said so. That's enough. Let's pray. Lord, we open the altar now. We ask You to come and speak, come and move. Let us experience You and Your power right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The altar's open. You come as the Lord leads you. We'd sure like to get those cards from you today. If you have one of those you want to bring, the baskets are here and in the back. And if you have an offering you want to bring unto the Lord, this is the time you can bring that too. Look this way, if you will. A couple of things I want to, I hate to say leave you with, because I really feel like the Lord is just churning some things right now, and just want Him to continue doing that the balance of the day. Remind you of the five families. So those five young ladies that were killed in that awful, awful accident. And, you know, a number of you, you know, knew the Deloach family, known for a long, long time. And so just be Just be praying for them. Glad to have Miss Lane with us today. She came to surprise young Miss Lane. Yeah. It's always a pleasure. And I want to remind you, ladies and gentlemen, we've had a lot of conflicts with schedule and all for the ladies' time out, but I think they've kind of got their heads together and all. They're going to cancel that for this coming weekend. It was to be next Saturday night. So we'll send out an email, though, just to remind the ones we don't catch about that. But I think they had trying to put 10 pounds in a 5-pound bag. Now, I'm going to take the salt and the sugar to the door with me today, and if you want to try me out today, and do you trust me? Maybe not. Okay. All right. Let's pray. Lord, now send us out in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the love of Jesus our Savior, and under the authority of Yahweh our Father, we bless you. Amen.